Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. I'm Susan Piver. I'm happy to sit with you. We're going to sit for 10 minutes. We're going to start soon. And I want to first appreciate you for your kind comments on my last video about my own personal story of how I came to be a Buddhist and a practitioner. And I thought I would continue in that vein this week by telling you how I became a meditation teacher. Because to me, it's as equally as strange and auspicious, I guess you could say, path. And if you want to just go right to the meditation, please do. You don't have to hear this story if you just want to sit, which is the most important thing. So I have been a Buddhist since 1993, and I never in my life thought I would become a teacher. That's a fact. I never thought about that. I'm like, I will never be good enough to teach this. It's so profound. It's so rich. It's so nuanced. I have actually had the good fortune to meet actual meditation masters. Therefore, I know I am not one of them. So that's not going to happen. Fast forward many years, I worked in publishing, creating things for publishers, big publishers in New York City, that combined a book with an audio component, which back then was, oh, that's a good idea. And I was talking to one of my customers, St. Martin's Press. They were great. And I said to them, this is 20 years ago, you guys should do something like meditation in a box. Something that presents meditation to people, but not just so they read about it, but like with an audio piece so they can actually do it. Because I think meditation is, going to become more well known as a good thing to do. And they said, oh, that's a great idea, Susan Piper. Can you write it? And they had read other things I'd written, I guess, and we liked each other a lot. And I said, no, I can't write it. Because I am not a meditation teacher. And they said, for whatever reason, well, we want you to do it. We would like you to do it. So I said, okay, I will try to become a meditation teacher. So I did. I'd been practicing at this point for probably 10 years, and I'd been on lots of long retreats. I graduated from Buddhist seminary, but I still would never presume to teach other people without some kind of imprimatur. Because I just think that's right. So I took meditation teacher training within my own lineage at the time, the Shambhala lineage. I'm not connected to it anymore. But the training was arduous, it was rich, it was wonderful. I loved it. It was intensive, and it concluded with a weekend retreat in rural Vermont, where at the end, everyone in the program, there are about 40 people in this training, had a test. And the test was you have to answer a question verbally in front of everybody in the room, but you don't know what question it's going to be. There's 40 possible questions, and the teacher's just going to pick one out of a hat. You have to be ready to answer all of them, but you don't know which one you're actually going to have to answer. So it's a great way of testing, by the way. Anyway, I flunked. Yes, my friends, I flunked my own I flunked my own meditation teacher training, and I was the only one who flunked. So it wasn't like, oh, there are lots of people who just didn't pass muster. No, I was the only one. So I found this very upsetting, and now the magic starts to come into the story. Again, the first piece of magic is this publisher said, yeah, we want you to do it. And I said, well, I guess I'll become a meditation teacher then. I don't know why they said that. So I'm driving away and I'm crying. Everyone, the last thing in this meditation teacher training retreat was everyone who passed took what was called a meditation teacher vow. It was very short, just basically, I vow not to hurt others and to do my best and so on. And I watched everyone take it. And I didn't take it. So I'm driving away, going back home, crying, like, what's the problem here? Why? I love this. Oh, then I remembered I basically flunked everything I'd ever studied because I'm just not a good student in that kind of environment. I didn't go to college. Just that's not a good learning environment for you. But as so many years had gone by that I'd forgotten about that. So when I'm driving home, I vowed to unpack what was happening. And I learned very valuable things that have helped me ever since to understand myself and to, beyond understanding myself, construct my life, my situation in a way that will work for me, because these other situations did not work for me. So without going into too much detail, what I learned, correctly or incorrectly, was I'm an extreme kinesthetic learner. I'm not good at audio learning, not good at visual learning. That's a fact. So in a situation like the one I just described, you're not doing anything, you're just sitting there. And that's not a good environment for me to learn. Helpful. Helpful point number two, I did some testing for right brain and left brain preference. And according to this test, again, I don't know if it's real or not. I don't have one. I mean, I have a brain, but I don't have a clear preference left or right. So that also was very interesting to me. Like, well, yeah, I guess that's why I'm not sure what you're asking me when you ask me a question. Could be this, could be that. Okay, helpful, helpful. I worked with someone in my community who was a very esteemed and senior meditation teacher to further train me. And then when she thought it was appropriate, she told the other teacher, she's good. You could put her on the list of approved meditation teachers or whatever the list is called. So, okay, I formally became a meditation teacher just a month or two later. So, all is well. I wrote a book for St. Martin's Press called How Not to Be Afraid of Your Own Life, which was about meditation, but I would not have presumed to write it without this training. My father, by the way, thought it was called How Not to Be Afraid of Your Own Life. I was very interested in that book. In any case, time goes by. I go on a retreat in January in Colorado as a student, and it's 2 weeks of intensive sitting in the winter in the foothills of the Colorado Rockies, a lot of darkness. It was great. I loved this retreat. And it was being led by a teacher named Richard. And at the end of one of the sessions, I said, "Hey, Richard, by the way, I never took the meditation teacher vow, but I have passed the training. Could you administer the vow to me," or whatever the right word is for that transaction? He said, "Sure, we'll do it after practice tonight." Now it turns out that practice tonight was a full moon. And we did a special practice called the Sadhana of Mahamudra, which you could do too if you're interested. You can Google it. It's very powerful. And it's long and it's trippy. And at one point in the Sadhana of Mahamudra, everybody chants Om. It's in a way that's called triple Om. Om, 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 Om. So if you ever go into a room where 60 people are going home, 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 home. Within like 30 seconds, the whole thing starts to become very trippy and shimmery and unusual. So we're about to go into this very unusual, very interesting practice. And right before we do, administrators of the retreat center said, "By the way, a blizzard just rolled in and no one can come in to this retreat center, and no one can leave. The roads are closed." So I'm sitting there going, well, this is pretty damn dramatic. It's a full moon. There's a blizzard. We're trapped. Okay. I'm looking forward to taking the meditation vow after this sadhana. And my expectation was the evening would close, everyone would leave, and me and Richard would just sit across from each other, and I would recite the vow to him, and that T would be crossed, that I would be dotted. But that's not how it happened. What happened was at the end of this dramatic practice, he said, I'm exaggerating. And now Susan Piver will take the meditation teacher vow in front of everybody. So I didn't expect that. So I go, I sit in front of him. He gives me a piece of paper with this short vow. He says, repeat after me. He says the vow. I say the vow. It's done. And in that moment, I thought, well, this again, the drama here, the moon, the blizzards, the witnesses, the mountains. I'm so glad I flunked my meditation teacher training so I could have this moment. And I still feel that way. So that was maybe 18 years ago or something, a pretty long time ago. And I'm grateful for how circumstance played itself out. And I'm grateful for you to listen to my story. And I will close it by saying circumstance is playing itself out in your world right now. Something is trying to communicate to you. I don't know what it is. It doesn't speak English or whatever your native tongue is, but circumstance is conspiring to wake you up. Don't take my word for that. See what you think. And I'm so glad to be here with you. Without the story I just told you, I would not be. So thank you to all the seen and unseen conditions that allow me to be here. And let's sit. Please begin by taking a good posture. Sit up straight to the best of your body's capacity, meaning don't strain yourself. The hands rest on the legs, palms down. The belly is soft. And let the shoulders relax. The mouth is closed, but not clenched. And breath is natural in and out through the nose, unless you have a cold, which I do. The eyes are open, and the gaze is soft. And cast down to a comfortable spot in front. Relax your brow. Feel your body breathing and let your attention be carried by the rhythm of breath. So feel the inhale. Until it turns into the exhale and then dissolve out on that out breath and begin again. Just feeling the body breathe. That's all we're doing. Thoughts come and go, of course. No big deal. Just let them. And should you notice that you have become absorbed in thought, not a thought, but to the point that you've spaced out, you're not meditating anymore, you're not feeling your breath. Okay, cool. Notice that. Label it silently thinking. Let go. Gently come back and begin again. Just feeling the body breathe. Thank you so much for your practice. Thank you for practicing with me. Thank you for practicing together. And before you go, I want to tell you that I am going to teach meditation teacher training myself, starting in mid-January, January 17th, I believe, for 11 weeks. So I haven't taught it in 2 years, and I don't know when I'll teach it again. So if you're interested in taking this deeper look with me at our practice, and then learning how to teach others to work with their minds, I can't think of anything more important right now. Beginning with how we work with our own minds, please join me. The information about how to do so will be on this page somewhere. If you have any questions, let me know. And till next time.